Sam
and Michelle.
Just a couple of critters.
Opinions from people who are deep into business.
Movies.
Movies.
TV.
Why is it wrong?
The Bristol.
Couple of critters.
I double movied, yeah.
You double movied me. I'm fine with it. My preference is that it is fucked up in the beginning.
I mean, that's pretty much how it's going to go.
That's what I ended up saying. How about you?
I said,
as well?
No, I was a
man, my fucking arms are like noodles right now.
Because you mowed and the vibrations are good and
hard.
Oh
my God. Art, my giant Art the Clown in the front of the house just moved a bunch. That means it is alive. Ah!
It'll fall over in a bush if it gets too windy.
Terrifying if Art the Clown was real in general in his size that he is in the movie. But even more terrifying if he was real in that size that's in front of the house. It's like 9 feet tall.
But what if he just stood in front of the house and protected us?
Then he'd be my best friend of all time. And I would love him, as I do now anyway.
Do you think Art the Clown likes animals, or do you think he hurts animals?
I think he has an interest in animals because in Terrifier 2, he has that raccoon. It's a possum that he guts in the school and throws at the kid when he's with that little girl.
So no, he's not nice to animals.
Well, the possum was already dead, so I don't know if he kills animals and then fucks with them, or if he just finds them and fucks with them. I'm going to say he also kills them.
That would suck, because I think it would be really cool to see a picture of, like, bloody Art just holding a little kitten and petting it,
yeah.
But then, like, getting blood on the kitten but not hurting the kitten.
I just thought of this. Aunt Pam, who's obsessed with Art the Clown.
Yes.
Also hates movies that an animal gets hurt, especially, like, if a dog. So hopefully they never make Art the Clown kill a dog,
her heart.
Because it would hurt her a lot. Oh, poor Pam.
Welcome to Couple of Critics Podcast. I am Michelle from Hell.
I am Sam from Alabama.
Ah, they're going to say Vietnam.
I'm also that.
How are you? How are you from two different places?
You could be born in some place, right? And then you can go live most of your life there. And I would say I'm from both of those places then.
Okay, but were you born in Vietnam or were you born in Alabama?
I was born in St. Louis, Missouri. Moved to Vietnam for a little bit. Did about 18 years there. And then
you did 18 years there?
Yeah, I went to Alabama. I don't want to talk about that 18 years in Vietnam. It was a seedy, seedy time. My own choices, though. I'm not saying the Vietnamese were seedy.
You
seedy
chose
people.
To move there as a babe?
I chose to do seedy, seedy things there when I moved there as a babe.
I was just, were you just listening to CDs?
Do you remember when CDs came out?
No.
You don't?
I remember them existing. I remember them being a newer thing.
Okay.
But
do you remember cassettes being the mainstream before a CD?
Of course.
Okay. Then you might not remember the actual invention of the CD, but you definitely remember a time when tape was king.
I remember when CDs started coming out and it was like the new thing, but I had only had cassettes.
Yeah.
But the first thing, but I think my dad bought a CD player maybe, and he was like
huge?
The first one to have one. I don't remember. I don't think so.
Do you know what your first CD was?
Yes. It was Hanson, Middle of Nowhere.
Nice. Do you know what mine was?
I don't know, like the Jesus Christ Superstar soundtrack
or
something.
No, but that was one of the first that I remember being in this house. No, too legit to quit.
Hi.
The fucking full MC Hammer album, which is the beginning of Sam figuring out that, like, I really just listen to singles when I'm that young.
Kick butt, kick butt. Kick butt.
Is that
kick
what he
butt.
Says?
He does. Kick butt, kick butt.
I don't
kick
remember
butt,
that
kick
at all.
Butt.
I do not remember that in any way, shape, or form. No, my arms are noodles because our lawn is extremely bumpy. Now, I'm not a lawn man in general. I just keep it short and respectable. But it is getting difficult to mow. Like, I'm getting caught in ruts and the lawn mower's like...
Yeah, I heard you beating the shit out of the ground.
Yeah, so I have this thing that's supposed to flatten the ground out. But in order for me to get...
It takes a lot of force.
God. I think I did maybe 5 feet of an area, and now my arms don't exist.
Yeah, it's just like a heavy piece of metal. You might know what it is if you're a guy, but it's like a heavy piece of metal on a stick.
It's just a flat piece of metal on a stick. It's for asphalt work, for like hitting in asphalt patches.
Okay, but it does work with like leveling out the ground if you need it. It just best, takes, but it just takes a lot of physicality.
Yeah, it's taking quite the physical toll on me. So I feel like all noodly. I'm not like in pain, but I feel like weak as I'm holding the microphone up. I feel noodly.
Well, I was out all day yesterday. I was down sick and I slept most of the day. And so after having lunch with your mother and family, I got pretty fucking tired and had to take a nap. So while Sam was beating the ground, I was...
I think you could hear that in here.
Yeah. Were you doing it outside where I sleep?
No.
On that side of the house? Because that's what it sounded like. It sounded like it was right next to me.
The closest I ever got was towards the porch in the back.
Wayne is in control today.
What's up, Wayne? Please don't hit any buttons that I don't see you hitting until it's too late.
He steps just right on the laptop and stops everything and we don't realize it. But it's still rolling, no problem.
So here's what I need. I need one of those steamroller things. It's like a big barrel that you put water or sand in and you drag it behind on a little lawnmower thing.
Okay, you have a chain and you have me.
You want me to roll you through the lawn?
I can flatten the ground, no problem.
I took my caravan back there and drove back and forth on that little strip back there where it was really, really bad and my lawnmower kept getting stuck.
Oh, wow.
And it works semi-good, but still got some issues.
You have a sweaty head, too.
I'm finding out that...
I slept and I held Cat in my arms and napped is what I was getting to.
I went and did hard labor after I ate noodles, fried chicken, green beans, mashed potatoes, rolls. This guy went and worked. Ugh. But...
Fuck that, I didn't have any energy.
If I had the tools and stuff, I wouldn't be a complete lawn man, but I would like my lawn to be easier to mow if I could pull it off. Because it fucking sucks now. It's just a lot of... Damn it! Just because there's like fucking divots and chunks, it's driving me goddamn nuts, and I don't know how to fix it. I'm just going to complain all summer. That's going to be my new podcast thing. Every week, I'm going to complain about the lawn.
Well, it can't just be the lawn because the washing machine part broke. So the washing machine is a part again.
Washing machine is
like
a part.
Like it has been.
More than it's ever been a part. Like every piece is off now.
But Sam like took the drums out and took everything apart and cleaned it just
down.
Like last time, but better, more thorough this time.
I scraped the inside plastic with a fucking razor blade to get all the soap gunk off.
I wonder if that's actually... if that's, what do they call it? I mean, there might be some soap buildup, but
there's
I wonder.
There's definitely soap, but there's also brownness.
Yeah, I wonder if that may actually be from fabric softener. Fabric softener is not great for a...
Oh, really?
It's not great for a washing machine.
Well, it was definitely gross. I was going to take before pictures and show you before and after, but I really didn't want you to see the before.
Oh, no.
Because I think you would have been like... Whoa!
Probably. I can't handle anything.
I know you can't.
Everything makes me drive.
I think you would have automatically washed all of your clothes once this washer gets fixed. Don't you would have seen what it looked like.
And I know that that's just what happens. And I don't know if it's because look at us just talk about our appliances, but...
Hey, this podcast is about our life and media at the same time.
I have a problem with... I have heavy blankets and I have things where I will put them in. I think they're even. The load gets unbalanced. And I think that that has done some... I don't like not damage, but it has fucked with that... machine quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I also think that like water has gotten like extra water and things have gotten where they don't.
Yeah, there's in this metal tub, there's some water sloshing around there and I cannot figure out where the fuck it's at. Don't get it.
Weird.
Yeah.
So I also, and I think that most, and I don't know if ours is worse because of having that unbalanced issue and maybe extra water getting places it shouldn't. But I think it gets funky. So
okay.
I also try
to smell.
Yeah. So I try to keep up with that stuff and like, I'll run loads with just like bleach and which
vinegar,
you're apparently not supposed to put bleach and vinegar together because it can
really
make like a toxic cloud if it wants to.
That spray bottle that I was like, hey, I gotta rinse this out and put the cleaner back into it.
Yeah.
Well, that was a combination of vinegar and bleach that I made.
Well, I also recently bought the non-chloric. Caloric bleach.
Maybe that's what does
it. So it's based off of, I don't think that this will do it because this is more peroxide based and not actual bleach based. Because did you guys know, I read that if you use bleach regularly in the house, it will build up chloroform in the air. Bleach is dangerous, even though for me, a bathroom isn't clean unless it smells like bleach.
Well, I was going to say, that stuff doesn't smell, have like the bleach smell. It doesn't have that chlorinated...
The bleach does it?
The stuff you bought.
No, it doesn't.
I was spraying it and I was like, where's that bleach smell at?
Yeah,
never
it's
happened.
Not there.
All I had was vinegar smell.
Yeah, vinegar sucks, but it helps. It's a natural degreaser. Yeah,
it helped me. I actually think it did help because I hit the side of the stainless. Yeah, everyone's bored. I hit the side of the stainless steel tub and then I cleaned it and it came off way easier than it did earlier in the day with just soap. So I think the vinegar did
something. Vinegar is a natural degreaser. It's good.
Anyway.
It just smells like hell.
It does.
But it works great.
But it makes a pickle taste good. Is that what you put it in? Vinegar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Only vinegar. You just dip a cucumber in vinegar and then you have pickles.
Pickles. Anyway. We're not here to talk about our appliances the whole time.
No, but we did for the first 10 minutes. Yeah, so plus,
I'm gonna be truthful here. There's stuff going on tonight, and we're not going to rush the episode, but it's probably going to be shorter than the most recent episodes have been.
It's not a long album either.
It's also not a long album. And speaking of the album, let's fucking get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here to talk about an album that I had no... inclination or any
no familiarity
information
with.
I've heard one of these songs. I found out I just knew that this should have been chosen eventually.
It was true that I've never heard any of these songs before,
so
this was all new to me.
Good. 98% new to me. Today we are talking about, as you already know because you read the episode description, we are talking about the debut studio album, The Stooges, by The Stooges.
Bum bada bum 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 The Stooges. Iggy Pop's body.
Yeah, I was going to say, The Stooges starring Iggy Pop. Now, before I get into music, fuck it, let's start the music. Who cares? This album came out August 5th, 1969. They consider this proto-punk. They consider this... the idea of what punk is going to become. And Iggy Pop is also considered.
So
that.
Punk has not begun yet. He just has this punky attitude.
He just has this fucking attitude that becomes what punk is. I would consider this more of a hard rock blues band than a punk band.
I will say for me, when this started, I didn't know how it was going to be. I had no idea. As soon as this started, I was like, this almost feels like watching a commercial or something. Like, but like, this is enjoyable to me.
Yeah. I didn't know what to expect. I had a very open mind going into this. Like I said, it's considered proto-punk, and me being the punk metal guy on this podcast, to not know anything about the Stooges or Iggy Pop in general, just besides of who he is. I mean, everyone knows, has seen Iggy Pop, right? I mean,
by the way, does proto-punk mean like the prototype for punk? Is that what that means?
Yeah, pretty much. It's starting the idea of what punk's going to be like. Iggy Pop in this era is addicted to heroin. He's a fucking nut bar. He cuts himself on stage. He like lacerates his chest. He smears peanut butter and like jelly on his chest while he's performing. He just acts like a fucking punk. Now, some of these songs might not be what you would call punk, but...
Well, I imagine the Stooges probably went in a harder direction as time went on, because a lot of bands have these the sound on their first album, where, to me, I think he has kind of like a Mick Jagger sound every once in a while.
Absolutely.
But then sometimes, he goes way further than Mick Jagger ever would, and just being weird and dragging things out and just...
And I think that's the punk
rough.
In it. Like, there's parts in this song that'll come later where he's like...
Yeah.
That is the punk. And I think... live, you would get the more punk sense. And not in a sense where like you're scared of this guy. Like Iggy Pop, I would not want to piss off.
I wouldn't even want to say hello to him. I'm sure he's nice.
I would. He seems very nice, very down to earth and like with it, but
yeah, but I have a feeling he'd look me up and down and just be like, no. He just gives me that feeling.
Like Henry Rollins?
Oh, he wouldn't even look at me.
That's always the vibe I get from him.
He would look from the person on my right to the person on my left as if I were not there.
You aren't even on my radar. You're such a worthless human, you aren't even on my radar.
You're essentially a ghost and I can see right through you. Like, get away from me.
So, I... with the proto-punk thing, like, you kind of figured out by doing research to find out how Iggy was, I can listen to it also and hear, like, these guitar solos sometimes are ugly on purpose. And he's choosing wrong notes, and it's, like, really distorted sound. So I totally get it. And I appreciate calling this proto-punk and knowing that it doesn't sound like what punk it becomes. Because I hate the fact that punk became a sound when its whole thing was be yourself.
Not conforming.
Now, they all had a general aura to them, but, like, eventually by the mid-90s, it's just like, here's a formula on how to be punk. And by then, it's fucking dead. And
it was
guys like
written
Jello
by
Biafra.
Green Day, right? Just making
the
sure.
The code?
Yeah.
Seeing guys like Green Day, I could see...
They're just on the other end of it.
Being in the original scene and they fell in love with it. It just happens, just so happens to be they figured out this is now commercialized. We can't stop it. You know, Green Day's not going to stop it. Why not perpetuate it?
I also don't know how punk they ever really were. I mean, maybe when they were young, they were rap punk kids.
I would say they're pretty punk even on Dookie. Maybe even on Nimrod after. And then they start... They might even still...
It's just that the music isn't as punky, but yeah. I would say...
But then there's the fucking theory, like, what is punk music? It's what you want to do.
Yeah.
But what you want to do sounds like fucking radio hits. But then that's the...
But then that's the people being more open to it as well. It's a real double-edged sword.
Here's where the punk mentality just completely falls apart. Because no matter what you do, you cannot win. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't, there's the punks that, like, if you don't have spiked hair and you don't wear chains, you're not punk.
It's like you're not punk enough or you're trying too hard.
Yes. You can never win in the punk scene. Like, you could say Green Day was so punk that they looked at what punk was and said, fuck that, we're going to do this now because this is what we want to do. And I would agree. It's what you want to do. That was very punk of you. Now, does it sound punk? I don't know, because what is it now? It's this like snake eating its own tail. And I think punks eventually realize that and they go, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
Or they don't. And you just keep. There are true punks out there. They're the ones that just let you do what you want to do. And they let life go by and they let people be people. Who I would not consider a punk is the people that do have that gatekeeping thing. I would consider me sometimes not a punk, where I have a mentality of, you got to do this or sound like this. And that's not right. Anyway, how did I get...
Breaking it down.
I did like that song. Do you like that song?
Yeah, 1969? I enjoyed it. It gave me a good... Give me hope for the rest of the album.
It gives me vibes of like that one band that... like the Hives...
Okay.
And all those bands that came out in, like, what, 2004
I would say
2003?
Maybe,
early 2000s?
Early 2000s.
Like, I just want to say the Stooges. Fuck, who were the ones there was?
It was, like, the Hives. It was the Strokes.
The Strokes. That's who I'm trying to think of. And, like,
I'm gonna get free.
Yeah, and this whole...
And, like, Franz Ferdinand and all that stuff.
So here's why I think that might have been reminding you of a commercial. Wasn't there a commercial? Now, I didn't do a ton of research on this stuff. So you know. And if you ever come to this podcast for facts, that's not what this is about. This is about how Michelle and I feel about these
things.
I mean,
but we try sometimes. We try a little bit. But sometimes it's not that. Sometimes we're not all in on everything. Sometimes we just kind of want to feel it and go with the flow.
Absolutely.
So fuck you.
I remember what I was
saying. And I love you.
I think Iggy Pop eventually didn't he do a commercial where he was dancing around without his shirt on?
I don't remember
and
this.
And I think it was a song that went like...
I'm pretty sure I don't know what Iggy Pop looks like with clothes on. I will say that.
Oh, he's always got his shirt off.
Yeah. I only know him as wearing natural leather on his body all
the time. His skin is quite leathery.
It's disgusting.
Seems like a very tough man, though.
He looks blank. He looks like a desert. His brain is a mirage.
I think he's actually very smart.
But he just looks dopey to me.
He does have a little bit of a dope look, but I think that kind of helps him. Makes him look a little bit more innocent.
Kind of like you expect less out of him, and then he can just be like, hey, I'm not a schlub, even though I look like a fucking
weirdo.
Or
when he goes crazy, you're like, oh my God, that little dopey thing went fucking nuts.
He looks like a woman who had a mastectomy who just wants to show everybody all the time.
All right, we're going to go on to the second song. Now, this is a song I have heard. This is one of the biggest songs that the Stooges have.
Really?
It has got Let's see. The second highest playing song on this album is 2.6 million plays. This song has 27 million.
It does.
So this is the big hit of the
Stooges
in general.
I didn't even look at that, even though it's right there.
Here we go. This is a song called I Wanna Be Your Dog. You can find many bands doing covers of this song, including Slayer. Did we do an album called Undisputed Attitude where Slayer was doing punk songs?
Sam.
I'd have to look back into it, but if we did, they did a version of this song called I Wanna Be Your God.
Okay.
Where they changed the lyrics to like about explicitly about sex, because this is obviously about sex. He's like, yeah. I want you here in my room, blah, blah, blah.
This feels more punk to me when it starts. And even though, like, not necessarily the but, like, just, yeah, like, the weird sounds and, like, the way that it started and it was really distorted when it came in.
Whatever that bell or chime thing is. And the drums. I think it's just got a vibe of we are punks in a sense that when adults say, that little punk, you know?
I also think he sounds the most like Mick Jagger vocally in this song.
Oh, yeah.
I never
realized how much
that.
Mick Jagger there was in Iggy Pop until I listened to this.
And I don't think they have anything to do with each other. I think they just have similar voices.
I bet he liked him a lot. I mean, Iggy seems to love rock and roll. He was friends with David Bowie, by the way, Iggy Pop. Very good friends.
Oh, my. Okay, so when he goes to events, I guess he'll wear a blazer, but not a shirt. And there are multiple pictures of
He's
him like
that.
He's
going to show that stomach to you.
At least show betwixt the tits.
You can also find his penis because he's routinely gets his dick out on stage, or at least used to. Yeah, I've seen that picture
him
a lot this
his
week.
Boob. His body.
I read an interview where he said, "I'm getting a little flabby, but I assure you, it's still tough." And then like pats his stomach.
Yeah, super tough.
See, even his like stature
his
gives
stance.
Me Mick Jagger vibes. That feminine, not feminine, but just that, like, aren't I weird and artistic in ways I stand?
No, it's like a real snaky physicality.
Snaky. Even Scott Weiland kind of gets some of those little vibes.
He does.
But look, his pants are, like, partly unbuttoned sometimes. He'll, like, have his pubes. Well, I think he shaves his pubes, but he has his pubis hanging out.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
He looks like he's about ready to lose those pants.
And he will. He'll get it out. He has no problem getting it out.
Isn't that, like, public indecency and people will get...
I don't think he does it anymore. I think this is in a time when you can get away with that.
76 years old currently.
The article...
Imagine it happening now.
I read by the bass player of... what was his? The Sex Pistols was like, I was so tired of seeing that thing, and it's not even that impressive. But it's not bad for a guy his size. It looks... Because Iggy Pop seems smaller than me.
Yeah, he seems tiny and shriveled. Beaten down by the sun.
I mean, I looked it up. I cannot help. If I find out there's a penis picture, I'm fucking looking at it. And I'm either going to be like...
Yeah, I do that too.
I'm either going to be like, God damn it. Or I'm going to be like, hey, all right, all right. And they're calling it big in this article. All right.
I made sure your Aunt Pam saw Hamaconda. I had brought it up before, and she didn't look it up. So I
There's
was like,
no.
no.
picture, though,
and then
right?
I sent it. No. It looks like he freeballs in his
pants.
Just
when he walks, you can see it swinging down by his knee.
He was blessed. Good for him.
I've seen it too, Michelle. I also looked up the Hamaconda.
How do you not?
I know.
How do you not think? Yeah, I don't know. I'm a piece of shit. I always look that stuff up.
That's not a piece of shit. Now, you can feel like a piece of shit if it's like
leaked
news.
Photos.
That,
yeah.
I agree. It's a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Pervy, I don't know. Just
pervy, just like
invasive.
Invasive. Like they didn't agree to that.
Yeah.
It's
no,
like,
I agree.
This hasn't happened to me in a long time.
But
and
if
I've
someone...
always declined. There's guy friends for some reason. If they have like titty pictures of their girlfriends, they'll be like, check it out.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is so wrong and fucked up.
Yeah,
you
she didn't
shouldn't do that.
She didn't ask to be shown
no,
for her tits to
and
be
I'm
shown.
Pretty
to
sure
everybody.
Now it's illegal.
Yeah, it's bad.
Because it got brought up enough. So now, here's the song. I'm gonna be your God by Slayer. I'm not gonna play the whole thing, but you can hear. So Slayer did this whole album called Undisputed Attitude. It's one of my favorite Slayer albums. But in this song, he's like, now I can bury my tongue down in a special place. You know, I don't have to hear this whole thing. See? down between your knees in that special place. Like, I don't like it near as much. I still am fine with this version of this song, but hearing the Stooges version where he's like being a lot more subtle,
and it's I Wanna Be Your Dog.
Now I wanna be your dog.
Now I wanna be your dog.
I feel like you're making it a little more new wavy.
I know. But I think it has more brevity and it's heavier. Like, I wanna be your dog. Like,
well, in his, even though his, I think what makes me feel like it's less punk or whatever is because his voice itself doesn't sound punk, but his singing style is.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. It's interesting. I guess I didn't necessarily think punk, but I thought that he seems punkish.
Even alternative can be a word.
Definitely alternative
this.
For 1969.
1969.
Sam, let's get into this next song.
You want to?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, it's this one. Okay.
Of course. This is the longest one on the album, and I can see that it does not have the fewest plays.
This song is 10 minutes and 18 seconds. Now, I'm going to give you a hint, everyone. We are not listening to all 10 minutes and 18 seconds.
I think I may have listened to it all the way through once, but I think I may have just gotten most of the way through, but didn't quite make it and skipped it on my other listens.
I completely understand. This is all it basically is the whole time.
It's not really a song, but it is.
It's like a chant the whole time with a little bit of music put in there. And he's got lyrics that he starts saying eventually, but this is one of those songs where I'm never into this style. I'm never into this indulgence. I'm not in tune enough with like spirituality to go down this road anyway. And you know me, I need some energy on stuff or I just...
Well, if he's on heroin, maybe this is him going through a thing.
It could be. They said he was a fucking nut bar.
He looks mean in the picture of the album cover. He looks like nonchalant but mean. Like you can't tell if he's gonna like hit you.
Love that you have brought this up because I did not think about this at all. So there's him in the front on the bottom, right?
Yeah.
Giving a shit look like he's going to beat you up. And then there's the guy right above him, not the dude next to him.
Yeah.
He's also got a look like those are like metal and punk looks when they end up taking like promo photos. That's the face. Before this, everybody's smiling or just like maybe straight face, but they don't look like an attitude. That guy with the long hair above Iggy. It looks like he's, like, got something to say to you that's not good.
The two on the right just look like they could be in any sort of, like, rock band at the time.
At the time, for sure. But they Iggy just look and like hippies.
And the guy behind him, yeah. I never even paid attention to the guy behind him. I just looked at Iggy because he's in the forefront.
Me too, until you said something. I started looking at it, and I was like, wait, they're even, like, a proto alternative band photo here.
Yeah, he has this, like, snarl on his face.
And I'm sure he was scary. I mean, he's cutting his chest.
He just doesn't look like he's a fun person to be around.
I think it's one of those things where he probably could have not been at certain points.
I think also when most people are deep in their addiction, they're probably not fun.
Exactly. All right. This is basically what it is the whole time. Really.
How long have we made it?
2 minutes and 30
seconds. Yeah, fuck that. That got more than it deserved. But that it doesn't really change. They're, like you said, a little lyrics here, but it's mostly
lyrics,
just chanty.
But yeah, we do not need to go through
that. It's a sea chanty.
And that's part of the reason this episode will not be incredibly long. what was I going to say? Speaking of addictions and being around people, I mentioned that he was friends with David Bowie.
Yeah.
Very good friends. So Iggy and the Stooges break up and they get back together. They break up. They make some music. Get back together with different people, different lineups. And through that, Iggy ends up homeless at some points. He's strung out on heroin. He gets a bunch of arrests and drug charges. And he gets an ultimatum eventually, go to jail or go to rehab. Of course, people in his thing are going to take rehab. So he checks himself in at an LA rehab. While he's there, his friends, David Bowie and, oh my God, what's his fucking name? He's a director. I think he did Easy Rider. Fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Francis Ford Coppola. That's the freshest on my brain.
Damn it. Who did Easy Rider? I think this is who I'm talking about. Easy Rider. Dennis Hopper.
Oh, he directed it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and he's in it too. But
I know he's in it, but I didn't know he directed it.
That's a Dennis Hopper directorial.
Huh. I've watched it once.
I've seen parts of it a bunch. They're like tripping acid in the cemetery. But anyway, his friend David Bowie and Dennis Hopper showed up to this rehab and say, "Hey, we want to see our friend." And they go, "Okay." And since they're stars, nobody searches them or checks them for anything and just lets them walk right in. And David Bowie walks in and says, "I brought you cocaine." So they bust out lines in a rehab. David Bowie, Dennis Hopper, and fucking Iggy Pop doing coke in a drug rehab center. It could have also been, God damn it, I wish I would write these things down. He was the dad in Nightmare on Elm Street. Oh, John Saxon, I think it was. I could be completely wrong about that.
What about him?
I don't think it was John Saxon. That's wrong. But there's a debate if it was Dennis Hopper or this other actor. But I like to think it's Dennis Hopper, Iggy Pop, and David Bowie getting their blow on in a fucking rehab.
First of all, they're all clearly addicts.
Oh, yeah. David Bowie said, "I wanted to see my friend, and I figured he hadn't had some drugs in a few days."
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. That's when you know who your real friends are, and I'm sorry, but that was a bad move.
Well, they stay friends, and they were friends till the end.
Well, they both got clean.
Yeah, they stay friends till the end, and David actually pulls him out of his hole and gets him to start recording music again and kind of talks him, you're not a schlub, you're just making some fucking dumbass choices. Look at me, I'm doing drugs, and I'm doing great. I'm the fucking star child. No, that's Paul Stanley.
He was the star man.
I like that you got a giggle out of Paul Stanley.
Cold gin. I'm the star child.
All right, we're going to play one more song and then we're going on a break. This song is called No Fun.
We were on a break.
I got to turn it up.
Yeah, you get that real, like, dirty rock and roll sound.
Yeah, it's super rock and roll. Sometimes it gives me real Mothers of Invention vibes too, like early Mothers where they're doing real ugly tone. This song gets stuck in my head.
No fun.
There's actually a few of these songs that would get stuck in my head. These are just like good rock and roll songs. None of them blew me away. But they were all like, this is a good rock and roll song. He knows what he's doing.
I wasn't just like, this is great, this is for me sort of thing, but this is not painful. I like that it's just good classic rock and roll for the most part. That last song can suck a dick.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about it so many times. When people just decide to be experimental and I'm going to be indulgent, it's just, for me at least, it doesn't work most of the time. Which it's good because it's not necessarily for me. You're making music that feels right to you.
Yeah, that's true. The indulgence for me, I can't handle when it's one thing. I'm all about indulgence. Like, I'm fine with a 14-minute long song as long as it's a journey and we're like going places and we're doing some stuff and we're going back and forth. When it's one fucking thing for 10 minutes, I'm not into chant music, so I'm not going to ever fucking get into that.
And track 3, put that at the end of the album or something. Like,
it's going to be a shitty end.
Yeah, but the third track, that's also rough.
I mean, it's almost, if you're going to put it on here, that's almost the best spot. Maybe the 8th track.
I would argue to leave it off. But I think it is only 8 tracks. It is only 8.
Okay, 7th track then. Then they need a time, I think. You know what I mean?
I wonder if that continues.
We have to press a record, so let's just do this for 10 minutes.
Well, I wonder if this is the only song, or that was the only song that sounded like that by them, or if they ever did anything like that again.
Well, I did not listen to any other Stooges or look into any other really Iggy Pop.
This also sounds kind of like it could be in a commercial.
Yeah, it sounds like that early 2000s sound. Like, I did not realize how much like the Strokes and the Hives, those bands we mentioned earlier, I didn't realize how much they owed to the Stooges in almost just this album. Because I don't know anything after this.
Especially this song, you can really hear that.
Yeah. That I could see a bunch of dudes in leather jackets not looking like they're not really interested in being there. Look strung out and pale. That's what I imagine in my head.
At least
the Hives.
Oh, I imagine just
at the Strokes.
Pale and socially awkward.
Who did the song that was like
it. Are you gonna be my girl?
It was Jet.
Okay, Jet owes everything to the Stooges. That's who I'm thinking of in my mind when I say black leather jackets that don't look like they want to be there. It's fucking Jet. And it sounds like this. That, like, teeny bop sound. It's almost got a 50s-ness to it while adding, like, a blues rock and roll onto it. Because it's all blues.
Yeah, I just see people just twisting.
Hippies with, like,
twist dancing.
Parts of their arms painted with paint, like acrylic paint. And there's one girl that's wearing a bikini for some reason. She's also got body paint all over.
Of course. And then there's someone who's not wearing a bikini, but it looks like she is because she has body paint on her.
There's also a guy in the corner wearing one of those French artist hats and purple round sunglasses. And he's got one of those Shakespeare beards. And he's just going, yeah, man. Yeah.
Do you feel it?
I bet hippies were freaked out by these dudes.
Yeah, if he's cutting himself and just screaming at them.
I don't know how much he cut himself, but I know there's stories of him doing that.
I don't remember his body looking scarred, so I don't know.
That's punk.
Just doesn't really care how it sounds.
Like, he's being ugly on purpose. And doing the emotion. I'm concerned about emotion more than he's concerned about sound right there. Most record producers would have heard that in 1969 and been like, what the fuck are you doing? Some would have even been like, get the fuck out of my studio. Don't ever do that to my microphone again.
I wasn't doing anything, man.
Inject.
Why you gotta hold me down? If you're not injecting me, don't hold me down, bro.
I said, why you gotta hold me down?
Yeah. I am surprised that he's American because I think he has he has that Mick Jagger sound, and Mick Jagger is not American.
Yeah, I think he's from Michigan.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah, he was born in Muskegon.
Muskegon! And his real name's like... Oh, fuck, I don't remember. Johnny? Jonathan? Tom?
It's James Newell Osterberg.
Yeah, Osterberg. That's right.
James. He looks like a James, though.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. Not like a Jim or a Jimmy, but he looks like a James. A James who doesn't like to be called James.
No. James who doesn't like it. What was I going to fucking say? I don't remember.
I'm sorry.
No, it was actually based on what you just said, but I don't remember what it was.
No fun.
He's got a real interesting low voice. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I don't know anything about the other members of this band. Unfortunately, Iggy... This is one of those bands where Iggy is just, like, so the face of things. And I'm sure if I became a Stooges fan, and I'm sure if there's any Stooges fan that's listening to this,
yeah,
maybe you do figure out, like, who the important guys are in the band. But as a guy who just listened to this one album, I don't really know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes there's bands where I can tell you everything about every fucking member. Not on this one. Just about Sir Iggis Pappas.
Well, it looks like they were formed in Ann Arbor, Michigan. They were originally billed as the Psychedelic Stooges.
Yeah. And then they eventually became Iggy and the Stooges. So even they know Iggy's the fucking face.
Real quick before we go, it says guitarist Ron Ashton, drummer Scott Ashton, and bassist Brothers? Dave Alexander.
Okay. I know that guitar player, when they reform and do the second album, I think he becomes the bass player and somebody else starts playing the guitar. And then I think he eventually goes back to guitar. But I think he is dead now, and Iggy has said since he is dead, there will be no Stooges reunion.
Yeah, there's quite a list of past members, so...
I mean, any band that's got a heroin addict for a front man, except for, like, Pantera, seems to go through a lot of band members. Wouldn't you agree?
I would think that probably usually happens, yeah, because those people make themselves hard to be around.
This is a song called The Passenger by Iggy Pop. Just wanted to hear what else Iggy has to offer.
Do you know how old this is?
No, I do not. This is from an album called Lust for Life. Let me go to it and see if it tells me when it came out. It's the second solo studio album, released in 1977.
It's got a David Bowie sound in his voice. But this has a lot of plays. 127 million plays.
Interesting. All right, we'll be back.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Hello, everyone. This is Outrageous Filming. The Couple of Critics podcast has agreed to give me a little bit of time to try out my new ASMR. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Outrageous ASMR. Okay, so I think people like triggers is what I've gathered. So I've got a plastic bottle right here. Listen to the sounds of the plastic bottle. Ooh. Oh, I dropped. Damn it. I dropped the bottle. Is that also very soothing? I also have a razor blade right here. Maybe the sound of the razor blade on the microphone can make. Is it soothing? Fuck. I just cut myself. Oh, God. I'm kind of bleeding. And by kind of, I mean, I'm really fucking bleeding. God, this is deep. I'm not really good with blood. I'm getting kind of woozy. This being getting woozy and breathing hard induced ASMR to most people. Oh, fuck. I've had too much cocaine today, and now I've cut myself very, very deep.
Hey, buddy, it's me. It's Abraham. Goddamn Lincoln anywhere. Oh, my God, there's blood everywhere. What the fuck happened in here? Oh, my God!
Outrageous ASMR.
Is this older, Iggy?
This is the most recent release that Iggy had. This is from an album called Every Loser. It is the 19th studio album by Iggy Pop, released on January 6th, 2023.
I was going to say. Sounds about right.
I was perusing through this to figure out what to play, and then I was like, oh, that song's called Neopunk. It kind of fits the theme of the, you know,
yeah,
proto-punk kind of thing. But I originally tested out a song called Strung Out Johnny. I'm going to play a little thing for you. It seems like he's testing out different sounds on this. He might always test out different sounds. Like I said, we don't know.
He sounds like Bowie.
Iggy at all.
Not anymore. He just did for like a second. He's definitely taking it easy vocally.
Yeah. I was going to say that, but then I thought like he's always kind of, even on this first Stooges album, very rarely is he like,
I guess, I mean, he's like hanging out in a lower register, oh, so it just seems like it's easier to just kind of be like, yeah, I'm just doing this.
His voice is lower now, too.
Yeah, maybe he wrecked his voice.
You think you just get older and your voice gets lower.
Mm-hmm. It does. I've noticed that mine has.
I mean, mine gets lower day by day.
Oh, I'm such an old lady. My voice is going higher every day.
I'm such an old lady, he said. Yeah, all right. We're still talking about the Stooges. Let's just get back into it. Like, this is going to be a short episode, everyone.
Wouldn't it be funny if one time we came back from the break and we just changed
the album
and acted like...
Oh my God, I wish you would have set it off. It would have... We would just done it sometime.
It would confuse the fuck out of people. And
so
would,
anyway, let's get back into this album and just play. I love that. Now we're going to have to wait long enough that people forget, and then we'll do it. All right, let's get back into it. This is a song called Real Cool Time. This song would get stuck in my head very easily. Just because it's fun to talk like Iggy Pop in this song.
Real cool time.
Tonight. I want to talk about the tones of the album, since usually I bring up tones. The guitar tones are
pretty abrasive on this album, and I think that attributes to the whole protopunk thing, that it's just like ugly tones. But for the most part,
like, even though it's not messy, this sound has a messiness to it.
Oh, it's very messy to me. I think they're even being looser with each other than they actually naturally are. It seems like this one, they're like, hey, feel like loosey-goosey on it. Because even the guitar player and the drummer aren't like, it all feels loose.
Like, it fits, but it's weird.
Yeah, they're all like on the back edge of the beat. Just in time to still be on the beat. And he keeps fucking with the lyrics like, tonight. I mean, he waited a whole fucking measure there. Tonight. What was I going to say? I was hoping for, you know, usually I'll be like, man, I love the snare on this old thing. Didn't really do that for me on this album.
It has like a boxy sound.
It's boxy. And I think Iggy is a little too loud most of the time.
He's a lot louder than the music.
Yeah. I think the drums could have used just a little bit of bump. Iggy just a little bumped up. Now, this album could have also sounded way fucking better on analog.
Yeah.
Mixed as it was, because I don't know if this is a remaster or not for digital times. I mean, I found that, you know, the record version, you might be like, oh, I've never heard that before until now I've got it on the record. And now I can hear this bass line for the first time ever. So that might be the case with these drums, and it might have sounded better on that, or it just always sounded this real thin, tinny sound. There's no, like, bulk to the drums. They're almost not there. And the guitar is always overpowering the drums.
Yeah.
But you can hear the bass most of the time. Those lyrics are an example of lyrics that I cannot imagine writing. For some reason, when I write lyrics, I feel like I'm supposed to be not on the nose. You know what I mean? I'm not supposed to just say exactly what I mean. I like to dance around the subject, maybe describe things that give that feeling, but I'm not explicitly saying it usually.
Yeah. People have different ways of telling stories.
I know. And so when somebody can just sit down and go, we'll have a good time tonight or a real cool time tonight, I'm mostly jealous, because I would also like to write a song like Pizza Party. It's like, we're gonna have a pizza party tonight.
Pizza party, pizza party.
But that's an actual... Wait, no. TV Party is a song by Black Flag.
Oh, well, I was...
It's a cookie party, but you were saying...
Cookie party.
Real cool time.
Sarah Silverman Program, if anyone knows what I'm talking about. I'm sure you do not.
Tonight, they don't.
I used to have a cookie party shirt.
You did. That show was funny. Mm-hmm. So what do you think the real cool time is?
Sex.
You do?
I think sex is often the subject.
It's always a thing.
Not always, but often.
I wondered if, just for this one, he was like, you know, I do drugs, right? Like, we can come over and have a real cool time.
But then if you're on heroin, you're probably not...
Are you fucking?
I don't know. Maybe you're just either. Maybe you're just holding each other and falling asleep.
Sounds kind of nice. Let's do heroin.
I mean, if I'm terminally ill, then yeah, there's no reason not to. I'm dying anyway.
I'll tell you the reason.
It'd be hard to find.
Exactly.
How do you just be like, hey, does anyone know where to get some heroin?
You have to talk to some people that you do not want to talk to.
That's true. I'm sure that there's someone or another who we know who knows someone who could find
just
it.
Just get on Facebook. Looking for horse, not the animal.
God.
Okay.
It's cool. I'm dying.
... I didn't realize this next song was called Anne. I'm just finding this out.
Yeah.
Now?
It sure is.
Okay. I don't remember what this song is.
It's...
Oh!
It almost has like a Doors feel.
Yes! You know what? That has a Doors feel on the fucking front cover too.
It does, but it's not... It's definitely different. I feel less comfortable being in a room with the Stooges based on that picture.
I don't know.
Now, this one's weird.
It is, and at first I didn't enjoy it, but I eventually took it as satire, because by the end he's just like screaming, I love you! It seems like he's making fun of the whole... I mean, he's
it's 1969 when this is fucking released.
Yeah.
So all of his songs previous have been about love and flowers and happy. So maybe he's so fucking sick of it that he's like, I'm going to write a love song too, but it's going to sound morose and it's all sarcasm.
I mean, that makes more sense than taking it seriously, because on face value, it's kind of awful. For me.
Yes, it was for me too at first, but then once I put that veneer of, I think this is like a Frank Zappa style satire.
Just a weirdo song.
Like, making fun of something. Then I was like, I kind of get it. Now, it really only kicks in at the end when he's screaming, I love you.
Ridiculous.
Which also gives me creepy vibes of like, you could also take this as like an emotional boy song who's like almost too intense. That he's like screaming
just
at
like
the
dramatic.
Scroll. Yes. Now, I don't think she's been breaking up with him, but like I do feel like, you know, there's just people that are just too much sometimes.
Him?
Yeah, and I think he might have been that guy a few times, so then he wrote the song. This.
It's just...
And then this sounds like the Mothers. Which I'm sure Iggy Pop probably enjoyed Frank Zappa. If you're a weird alternative guy, Frank Zappa was your dude back in the day.
Okay, so according to Genius.com,
yeah,
it says that Ann is a reference to the Stooges' hometown, Ann Arbor, Michigan, where the campus of the University of Michigan is located.
Oh, so it's not satire? I made it better in my head.
No, but it does say that they never had happy love songs. This just creeps me out, so, this song does. This feels like stalkerish,
yes,
to me.
Yes, exactly.
It's like, it never felt like satire, which I think you just wanted it to be, but luckily it's not very long.
Well, I don't mean like funny, I just mean
making
fun of a situation.
Yeah, but no, I think it's just them being, I think it's just
mocking
dramatic.
Yeah.
I love you! And maybe that's also, maybe he is being sarcastic.
I feel like he's heard I Love You in 1969 a million fucking times and he was sick of it. So,
or it's also just people being proud of where they're from and he's just like, I'm not proud to be from Ann Arbor, Michigan. I'm a dirty little boy.
Once you told me the Ann Arbor thing, I was like, okay, I think it's still the satire thing, but instead of using a girl's name that I actually knew, he just used Ann Arbor and he's like, look, it's actually about this, but we're still doing a satire of a love song.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll call up Biggie himself later and give him an ask.
I'll call up Biggie and I'll see how he's doing.
Biggie Pop. I love it.
Biggie Pop.
Biggie and the Stooges. There you go. Get on it, AI.
Notorious STG.
Notorious STG.
Stooge.
Good one. Good one. All right. Let's move on to the next song. That joke was just not right.
I was having fun with it.
I loved it.
Not right.
This would get stuck in my head, too. Something.
He says he has a very small vocabulary on this album. He just says a lot of the same words over and over again. And there's not a whole lot in the world of lyrics. It's all very, like, kind of spaced out. And it's just a lot. It's repetitive. And
that's the, can be a proto-punk thing, too.
No, yeah. I'm just saying.
Man, the more I talk about it, the more I see the angles of how you can argue the proto-punk thing of Mr. Iggy Pop.
Yeah, I do find most of this to be enjoyable. I like that the songs are short and sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that music like this is best in smaller amounts, especially when it's just kind of like a big, kind of loud. Not. It's not really a mess, but it has like a messiness to it. But I wouldn't call it sloppy.
No.
It's just like the sounds together that they're using just sound messy, but they're hitting the notes and everything, yeah, and they're staying in time. So it's just. Yeah, I don't remember what I was saying.
It's like a controlled chaos to me.
Yeah.
Which is what metal and punk can be. It's a controlled chaos. So for me to hear this sloppiness where they're given this attitude. This is definitely has way more attitude than like a 60s album
ever had.
It's dripping with an attitude. I don't know what that attitude is and what his angle might be sometimes, but I can feel it.
I do enjoy this, and I wonder how many times I've heard Stooges songs and just didn't realize it.
No idea. I know that these two, the first two albums were not big hits at their time. They became kind of cult classics later, which kind of makes sense. Sometimes people aren't ready for things, and then when they are, they go back and they're like, holy shit, you were a genius for this long.
So, cult classic, do you think that this album was really big at Jonestown?
Yep.
I'm cheesing it up.
When they handed out the, wait, Jonestown. It's not Kuwait. Wait, is it? I can't keep my cult. Is that, what's his fucking nuts?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
I can't think
Jim
of,
Jones?
I believe so, yeah.
That's Jim Jones, right? It's not Kool-Aid. It's
Jim Jonestown, yes.
It's Flavor Aid is what they gave him. So they served the Flavor Aid on this album. There you go. There's your yes and.
Not very smooth, but I appreciate it.
We are not funny.
Ouch.
That's not true. We're situationally funny, I think. People seem to think we're all right.
People like you.
And gosh darn it, people like me.
They do. A lot of people.
That was Franken, right? Whatever happened to Franken? He's been gone ever since the squeeze titties picture,
where he did essentially nothing. But it was right during the worst part of the Me Too movement. Uh-huh. So a lot of people who shouldn't have had to step down from their jobs did. Al Franken didn't need to do that. That was an overcorrection.
No, yeah, I agree.
He still exists. It sucks. I enjoyed him when he was I enjoyed him when he was in politics. When he was in the Senate.
I enjoyed when, on Halloween, you were Al Frankenstein. That's what I enjoyed.
And my stance was that picture of him standing sideways like he's going to grab somebody.
It was! we're making fun of situations.
It was
fun. She wants something.
I wanted to be relevant and funny. But, you know, we're not funny, so.
Exactly.
Boom crash.
Are these all about fucking?
Probably.
Like she wants something,
especially
wants
Ann Arbor, Michigan
tonight.
Yeah, it's all it. Yeah, it's very simple minded. I think
he likes to fuck.
He wants to be touched.
He wants to fuck.
He wants to be held. He wants someone to take the cutting devices away from him.
Oh yeah, I know. One story was he like jumped up on a table and he fell down and he crashed onto all the glass and he picked up a shard and cut a big X into his chest. And then, like, they tried to stop the show, and he was like, no. And he, like, flung himself, and, like, blood flew into the crowd.
No. That's fucking awful. I know some people would be like, yeah, bleh, I'll bathe in your blood. But I would be like, heroin, sex with a lot of ladies, leathery skin.
Blood in general. I remember Cherie told me a story that she went to a mindless self-indulgence show, which that guy's a piece of fucking shit. I don't remember why, but I remember I looked it up and he's like a fucking, I think he's a groomer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
I'm familiar with the term.
She went to a show and she told me that some guy was screaming at the main dude, pee on me, pee on me. And eventually he did pee on the guy in the front row from the stage. And I thought, one, how is that legal? I mean, his dick's out, but I guess if nobody reports it, it's not going to be a fucking deal. But two, what about the people that didn't want to be peed on? That pee's not just hitting one person.
No, pee never not splatters.
And I thought, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I know it's what's the word? I know it's a fetish, and it's fine, whatever you want to do in your own bedroom. But I don't like the worship of this one guy. Like, you don't know this fucking person at all. You don't have a relationship with this person. You're just so obsessed with them. You're like, pee on me. Now, yes, I yelped that at Odorous at Guar shows.
Come on me.
But that's fake. This isn't real.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking of the whole time.
I know you were. How many times do you think Guar has actually put their real shit into the juice?
Poop?
No. Oh, well, maybe.
You said shit.
I didn't say shit. I didn't mean that. I should have realized that is a bodily excrement. But I mean, like,
pee-pee?
Maybe they peed in it.
A little kerm.
Maybe a little cut. Put some blood in the blood.
No.
I would hope not.
I don't think so.
That's fucked up if you do that.
They're like, ooh, that's gross. But let's go pretend.
Yeah, pretend. They're all a bunch of fucking nerds. Of course they're just going to pretend. Ow! Oh! God damn! Look at this. There's a hole in my seat where I got stabbed by a piece of metal that's in this
There's
chair.
There's a hole in my seat.
God damn.
And the metal's trying to enter me.
It didn't try, it did.
Ooh, you have a little pierce on the bottom?
On my leg. Not in my bottom.
On the bottom.
All right, we've got one more song on this album. It's called Little Doll. I like the bass tone.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like...
It's very distorted.
And I ain't talking Joan. Did you like that one?
No. I wish you were talking about a thing that flies in the air.
I refuse.
I know.
I don't remember the song.
We're just
going
to have to agree to disagree.
Oh. I definitely got a sound on this album.
Mm-hmm.
I think I read, and I didn't think of it until I read it, that he wanted to start like a hard rock, like a rock blues band. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can hear it now because, yeah, they are doing all like blues chord progressions and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's doing simplistic lyrics, which now I think about it, maybe that's proto-punk, the simplistic lyrics thing, where you're just kind of like not trying to say a bunch of stuff, but you're saying what you need to say with as little as possible. Sometimes I think I overwrite.
He's telling a story with his body.
He always does. When he's squirming around mm-hmm. and that wrinkly mess is looking at me.
He's like a worm spelling out things with his body. Worms are known to do that.
I think that's a big pro. They are known to do mm-hmm. that. When I was doing that slamming thing earlier in the lawn, this worm came out and went back into the ground. And I was like, man, I would have felt bad if I would have squashed that thing accidentally. But...
They don't they regrow?
I don't know. Not when you smash them.
Yeah, we'll see.
What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, the simplistic lyrics thing. I think it's easy to overwrite, especially in metal. And I think there's a nice comfort in blues and punk music where you can use the space a little bit. Not to say that there's not metal that doesn't, but there's a lot of metal that's like. And it's like, that was two full sentences you just wrote, and you got to do eight more of those, and then a chorus, and then another verse of that. Before you know it, your lyric sheet for one song is gigantic.
Yeah, but guys who make sounds like that have a lot to say because they're sad boys.
The one guy I was thinking about, those lyrics are like so like 19-year-old, and not like emo way, just like. I pull off your scalp and I see your skull. Like, I'm totally talking about Cannibal Corpse.
Go and introduce the Pope. Blunt force castration.
Blunt force castration.
Yeah, that's a good song.
That's the only thing that I understood that you said the whole time.
I think that Cannibal Corpse wrote that song because they have gotten so much shit for every song basically being about an assault of a woman. Because it's always like from the viewpoint of a psychotic man, like usually kidnapping a woman or digging up a dead woman. So I think they wrote Blunt Force Castration to be like, hey, this one's for the ladies.
I mean, depending how long the person's been dead, it doesn't really matter what the gender is that you're digging up. It's just a bag of bones.
I mean, I ain't gay, so yeah.
Well, we are finished.
I'm glad that worked.
With the album. If there's one thing about me is that my sense of humor isn't super PC. So I'm fine with that. Yeah, let's get to some questions. I was going to try and get in, but God.
I guess that was a solo Sam one of that one.
Yeah, you really took over. I didn't feel like I could interject. Anytime I go to do something, you're like, ah!
That's the background noise. Then you come in and be like, here's some questions for everyone.
It was intimidating.
My Iggy popped you. I'm sorry.
Sam, why this?
Hi, Clammy.
Why this album?
She ran up here because of these loud screeching noises I made.
She thought something was wrong.
Why this album? Solely because, as a punker guy and, you know, a lover of alternative music, to know that this band, a lot of bands I enjoy, credit with inspiring them and getting into, you know, rock and roll music, I just felt like it was time. I felt like it's weird to not know the Stooges and consider myself a fan of, you know, the punk genre.
The punk genre.
Clam is currently assaulting my wife, for those people that don't know. The dog, our dog.
She's on top of
who
me.
Who we now call Fat Clemenza.
Fat Clemenza.
But I chose it because of those reasons. Like, I'm getting to a point in my life, and you did it with The Godfather, where it's like, there's things that I kind of just never sampled, at least, and they're big things. Like, the Stooges might not be huge things to the general public, but it's a huge fucking name in the alternative music world.
I've always
world.
Known of the Stooges.
And Iggy Pop is a fucking iconic character. I've seen Iggy Pop my entire... I don't Same. Remember life without Iggy Pop existing, which, of course, he did exist my entire life, but I grew up with MTV in the house, so I've always been aware of Iggy Pop. Didn't know any Iggy Pop.
Yeah, I've always been someone who watched, because I didn't. I would have maybe MTV, but then I wouldn't. But when I didn't, I loved watching award shows. So I did see a lot of people, even if I wasn't familiar with them because of all the different categories and stuff. So I've also feel like I've always just... I can't tell you when I learned about Iggy Pop. I just feel like, Same as far here. Back as I can remember, yeah. I've just seen him.
Right? And he's a character that you're going to remember. There's just certain people in this world that are just like, yep, you're burning in my brain now. And Iggy Pop is one. Even the name, Iggy Pop. It just...
Yes, James.
Austinberg.
James from... Michigan, Muskegon.
Muskegon. So there you go. That's my reasons for choosing this. And I'm running out of stuff, so we're going to fucking keep searching, baby.
Yeah, I'm interested in that.
Ow.
How many times did you listen to this?
I ended up listening to this about 5 times.
Okay.
And here are the reasons. 3, because, you know, it's the mandatory. Oh, I only listened to the 10-minute track once all the way through, because... You only need to listen to it once to know if it's your thing or not.
Yeah.
So, I listened to it 5 times because I feel like there's something here that I liked it, but there's something that's not clicking that I expect to click.
Or that you want to click?
That I kind of want to click. I like I said, this album didn't blow me away, but I feel like it's good enough that there's... Maybe the next album's better than this one. Maybe there's nothing for me on this. Maybe it's just something I need to know and be aware of. And I'm so far down the line that it's too little too late. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Could also be that.
That happens a lot, unfortunately.
It does.
I got the 3 in. I also just... I already said I maybe listened to that song all the way through once, but I don't think I made it all the way because it's too much.
It's too much. Sorry.
Least favorite song.
Well, I think we know what that is.
We Will Fall is the worst song on the album, period. Chant, 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 boo-hoo.
Yeah, here I'll play part of later in the song that you didn't get to hear. Hey, guess what? That's at 7 minutes, and we're still doing the same thing. I forget what they're saying, too. What are they saying? Oh, gee, Ramja. 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 So there you go. And maybe there was that, you know, in the 60s, there was that, like, Middle Eastern religion, like, the Beatles were getting into...
Hare Krishna.
Were they Hare Krishna?
That's...
I thought they were just getting into, like, Buddhism.
That's fucking John Lennon was into Hare Krishna.
He was?
Mm-hmm.
He was going to go to airports and have a weird haircut and give people things, like necklaces and stuff?
He just gave his nude body of his and his wives to everyone. Or, I'm sorry, his wife.
To everyone.
That didn't need to be pluralized. Most favorite song, do you know?
You know, this is a toss-up. Do you know what yours is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't actually have it decided until this listen.
Okay.
But for me, it's No Fun.
No Fun. That's a good one to choose.
Yeah, this is a good song. This has got a real Rolling Stones vibe to it, too. In general, even the music's got a Rolling Stones vibe.
Yeah, and maybe that's why I like it, but it just, I feel like it's more straightforward. It doesn't get too weird. It's, things are more in sync.
Yeah, it's got those fun claps going on, too. I just thought of this. This song is called No Fun, but it's a pretty fun song.
Uh-huh. Well, there he is, just giving it to you and being like, hey, I'm saying this, but I mean this.
It's that punk attitude.
I'm so smooth. I'm Iggy.
So
I pop.
While I Want to Be Your Dog, I enjoy that song, and it's like most punk guys' like favorite song, I from what I've gathered of the Stooges, I am going to choose a little song that is called No Fun.
Well, and I really did. I thought it was going to be between the first two songs for me.
I really 1969 was a contender for second place.
Yeah, so I was like, is it the first two? But then on this list, and I was like, okay, No Fun is very enjoyable to me.
And I think it's enjoyable for a couple. It does its job for... here's why it works as the best song. Because it's fun. It sounds good. It's got a good vibe. I like the vocal selection. But it also has enough of that proto-punk thing. Like, his vocals, he gets a little ugly every once in a while. The guitar solo's a little ugly. The guitar solo's got that real distorted tone.
Just playing the song a lot.
Yeah. See, like, that's pretty punky. But it's also pretty rock and roll still. It's not throwing it in your face. Like, I think a Rolling Stones fan could get down to that still. And it's still got that 60s vibe of, like, hippies. It's like before hippies die. This is like the end of hippies.
Would you recommend this album today to anyone?
Probably not. It doesn't hit that hard. It doesn't hit me hard enough. I'm too far down the line. There's many other albums that I would recommend in an alternative world before I would say this.
Would you listen to this album again, do you think?
Probably not. While I enjoyed it, it's just not, it wasn't enough for me to add it to the repertoire. I'm very glad that I know what it sounds like now.
I agree.
I'm glad I took this the ride, but it didn't hit enough to make it to just going to listen to all the time. Like, it's not even a contender for if someone's in my car and I need to play something that's not alienating. Or maybe it will be. Maybe this is an easier album for some people. Actually, it probably is a contender for a Person in the Car album because
just
I don't play things like
three.
Dying Fetus and Cannibal Corpse and Ed Gein. I don't. The kid at work that started recently, he's like, you can listen to whatever you want. I was like, no, I can't. I was like, just like you're not allowed to listen to whatever you want. I'm not going to subject you to what I want to hear, and you're not going to subject me to pop country or Drake. We're going to keep a classic rock relationship, and that's where it will end. And we're both happy with that.
This dog is being ridiculous to me.
What's she want?
She wants me to pet her. She's being extremely sweet and loving to me. And I'm all like, let's get rid of her.
Yeah, I think you offered Pam, once Buddy dies, you can have Clam. And I was like, no, you can't.
I make jokes. I also would not listen to this again as far as rating it a 0 out of 10. I'm going to give this... This is tough. I think I'm gonna go 5.5. Not great, but not bad at all.
Right.
And if you took the third track out, it's a very easy listenable song or album. It's an easy listen. It's short.
Yeah.
The songs are fine.
The longest song other than that 10-minute 19 song is 5 minutes and 16 seconds, and it's No Fun. And it goes by quick. The rhythm is good enough that you just kind of get lost in it.
Yeah.
In a good way, not in a... Oh, God way, like We Will Fall is.
I agree. So, you, rating?
I want to give it a little higher than you. I was thinking 5.5, but I think that's almost not an insult, but it did its job good enough, so I'm going to give it like a 6.5, because I think it's the same reasons you said. It's good, but it's not blowing me away. I don't want to give it lower than that, because I feel like it's... There's enough good songs in here that I can listen to, and I wasn't miserable. The only time I was miserable was track 3. I mean, so I'll give it a 6.5.
And describe this album in one word. I'm going to say leather.
I'm going to say lo-fi.
That makes sense. That's definitely the sound that we're getting.
When I think of this album, I do think of like a lower quality mix and that, but I, in that way that becomes punk, you know, all, some of my favorite punk shit, Misfits, sounds like fucking dung.
Yeah.
But I prefer it that way. And I think I prefer my Stooges this way too.
All right. I didn't dislike anything that you played. None of it was bad, honestly.
Right?
But it just wasn't anything to be like, oh, yeah, that's great.
I know. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. Poor. Well, I mean, at least it's palatable. There I've heard absolutely a lot of stuff that I haven't liked.
If I got in someone's car and they were playing the Stooges, I'd be like, okay, we can do this.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are finished with the Stooges.
Yeah.
I am giving you the next thing.
Okay.
And
if it's going to be a movie or an album, I think it's going to be an album.
It is going to be an album. It's something that you are kind of familiar with.
Okay.
Actually, you and your mom have a connection to this with me. So we are going to be listening to the album Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
I was
going to
fucking guess. Is the album called Blood, Sweat, and Tears?
Yeah, it's the second album.
Okay.
The second one is the self-titled. Okay. Blood, Sweat, and Tears by Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Is that a spinning wheel on it?
Yes. Some smiling phases, some in When I Die.
Oh, this fucking album kicks ass. I think this has got that song on it that's got that kick-ass drum shit.
It does.
Yeah!
It's a fun album.
See, this album I didn't gush over the drum tone. Next album you're going to hear me gush over the drum tone.
All right.
I'm like, shut up, Michelle, listen to the snare drum.
All right, that's it. I hope you guys enjoyed a shorter episode. I kind of enjoyed a shorter episode.
I'm fine with a shorter episode. I know... Maybe some of you enjoy a longer episode. My podcast, I enjoy a longer episode because it gets me through the day a little bit more. So I get it. But at the same time, when you're talking about this stuff, sometimes a shorter episode is nice.
It works.
Sometimes, like, a shorter album is nice in general. Right?
Yes. Right. But, you know, some things are short, but...
Well, it's not too bad.
Don't want no short, man.
Who wears short shorts?
I didn't say dick because I didn't want to upset you.
Yes, please don't.
Eeny, weeny, teeny, weeny, shriveled little short dick man.
What is that from?
It's a song from the 90s. I remember hearing
little
it.
Short dick man.
Yes. Don't want no short dick man.
We got to get out of here before this runs out. Bye.
Bye.